How y'all doing? Y'all doing all right? Can I bother you a little bit? Push that up, son. I need a little bit more room to maneuver. Okay, I'm opening this map up again. Let's see what we do with it this time. Oh, it's upside down. That's good. That's a good start. All right. I want to, first of all, I guess I'll get those guys that are traveling directly with me first. Jay and Jody. Did y'all come up here? Brother Brett, would you stand up while they're coming up here? Brother Brett just flew in here a while ago. He works with us. Brett Hancock, his wife couldn't come. Her grandma died. And so they're there with the family. Isn't that true? Okay. But y'all know them. They was here before. The ones of you that were, I don't know when it was. When was it? Last time. Yes. All right. It isn't that I got a bad memory. It's just I'm in lots of places in the same week and countries too. Gotta have to sit there and let the computer run a minute and sort it out. Could they use your microphone? They need it. I don't need it. It's turned on. Okay. This is my son. The guy with the microphone. He's how old are you? 24. And he's a good boy. Man. Yeah, he's a boy to me. Always will be. My daddy died at 70 years old. He still called me boy, so that's all right. That's all right. Anyway, I'm proud of my son. Most guys are. He works directly with me and works in the ministry. Works over some territory. Let me see what I want you to... You can say whatever you want. You feel like the Holy Ghost is telling you, but I want you to... Jason is here, too. I'll get you tomorrow. You and Brett. In Jesus' name. Talk to them about that place. See, I worked on this area for a long time, y'all. I just couldn't break it. It wasn't the season, I guess. We can say that to calm me down, but it was just needing some more guys to come in. Jason's part of that. So tell them about that area, what it's like up in there beyond where we went whenever I first made that first big push up in there. Talk to them about that.
Yes, sir.
Explain it to them. Tell them the truth.
All right.
Video room. Yes, I know you're modest, but you step over here so that camera can put you down. And
pick. All right. Well, I grew up on the mission field. Like you said, I was about 5 years old or four when we moved down there. And I've lived on a mission field ever since. And I haven't had any desire to go anywhere else.
Shake tape.
And it was the Holy Ghost helped me through all those years that everybody says is bad for young people. And I just felt God calling me into that particular area where he first started at. I felt like God wants me to be there to continue on to help those brothers that were there that got saved when they first moved in. And later we got kicked out and we went back in. And so in the end of 93, I was married in the end of 92. In the end of 93, I moved back in there into that area. And it's still rough like it was before. Still got a bunch of devils out there. So there's plenty of work to be done. But there's a certain area right up the middle in this valley that I just kept feeling like God wanted us to go into. But it still wasn't opening up. Like you said, it never opened up. It just wouldn't open up. And we kept trying to get up in there and nothing would start. And then all of a sudden, our main pastor in that area came to my house one day and he said, "Look, these people invited me up there and so we're going to go up there and start preaching in this village," he said, "and just so you know, they hate the gospel there and they hate Americans and they hate everybody that's not in their town." He said, "So you need to be praying and go with me." So I said, "All right." So we went. We went up in there and there was nobody saved in that town, and a family got saved. And they got, the whole family started getting saved, the brothers and sisters, the mama and the daddy. The daddy's about 60. And so this whole family got saved, and then from there, that family there, this church is growing. We got about 30 or 40 people in there now. And then from that church, four more churches have sprung up in that area. It just almost automatically, they're just coming in from the further villages. As another village gets people in it, the next village starts coming into that village to get saved. And it's a real blessing because now we've got, in that area, there's three Indian dialects. Three different ones. And they're all, when they all come together, it's real funny because I know English, and then there's Spanish, and then there's these three Indian dialects, and most of the time we don't understand each other. But the Holy Ghost knows all the languages, and He knows how to reach those people, even though I don't understand them, and I can't tell them about the gospel. Somehow they understand. Somehow they're hearing it, and they're getting it. And I know it's not me, it's the Holy Ghost. He's just going ahead of us and just getting those people ready for me to come and just say, get saved, and they say, okay.
All right. Okay.
I'm out of hat.
You want me to pull it up? Or you want to do it? Brother Jay came down when he was he 15 or
16? 18.
He was 18? What was some other guys? Some other guys must have been 15 or
16.
Couple of them was, right. Sorry. Anyway, he came down there and started work when he just graduated, right? Is that true? Yeah, all right, now I got it right. And but he didn't come back. Most people don't. Because Americans are sissies. And so, see, I said it now. You ain't going to get in trouble. They're mad at me.
I'm ready to say it.
Oh, you ready to say it? See, what happens is lots of people have a different idea of how ministry is in the field. And so when they come down and get their idea upset, they get mad at us. Because, you know, we could change to their idea and everything would run smoother. The only problem is they ain't there getting nobody saved and getting shot and beat up. So I don't listen to that kind of garbage. So this guy here goes back home and stayed. How long was you up there?
10 years.
10 years, yeah. And finally he just couldn't live with it. Had a great job. His wife, R.E.N., making big money. I mean, they were doing, like a lot of y'all, doing great. But just absolutely frustrated. And so God brought him down, and after a while he went through Lamb School and then come on into the ministry and put him into this area. I gave him one to talk to him about that. That you can talk to him about anything you want to. You can. But that I want him to get this thing about these new areas. The one out there on the left side of the road. That's right. Talk to him about that. Hey, you can tell him anything else you want to, also. I don't care.
Thank you. I had something really. You just opened the door for something I was feeling I wanted to share.
All right.
Walk in, buddy. I tell you what, I think I'm going to start with that. You know where I was 7 years ago? I was sitting next to you. I was the guy you worked with. I was your next door neighbor. I was just like you.
Oh, boy.
I put it, I believe yesterday when we were flying in. We did fly in yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, I think that's right.
We were flying in, and I pointed down out of one of the jets, and I said, that's the American dream down there.
That's it.
You see those little squares, those little blocks on them? That's what we live and fight and die for. And then what can we do with it when it's over?
That's right. Come on, Jay. Come on, buddy.
This man told me a long time ago not to come down to his house because he said it would change me. He said, you'll never be the same. And he was right. And if I had it to do over again, I'd have gone down there sooner. And I'd have stayed longer. And I sat around and I waited because everybody says, God's got to tell you audibly, you got to hear, do this, that. That's a bunch of junk. I called this guy about 6 years ago, and I said, you know what? I've been sitting here for 10 years. I hadn't heard an audible voice. I haven't seen any blue clouds. I just can't take anymore. I want to come work. That's the extent of the call. Just the burden to see the need down there. As the American church, we spend our greatest resources and our greatest amount of time in the area of the least harvest and the least yield. So we walked. We went down there. And I had no idea when I first went what I'd be doing, how long I'd be staying or anything. But when I got to language school, the first thing God started dealing with me about is, how long are you going to stay? And everything He showed me was, you don't see any great prophet of the Bible. You don't see anybody that wrote much of anything that did it for a year or two or three. They were lifers. Hello? We want this assassin, this specialist type of, you know, like a surgeon, you know, just got, we want to come in and do our own little sweet job and be grandly rewarded for it, but it isn't like that. Why am I saying this? I'm telling you, this morning I could feel the anxiety, the animosity, if you will, of some people against this man, because they think he's bragging, they think he's rubbing their nose in it or flaunting something that God gave him. He's not. He's just telling you the facts. Because I was sitting where you are. I've done what you do. I know what you're like. I mean, I just can look at you. I know what you're like, okay? Because I was just like you. But God's got a call for everyone in here. He's got a job for us to do. You need to turn loose of the junk that's holding you back and put your hand to the plow and quit looking back, quit worrying about yourself. I got down there. I get on into this that like I said, I didn't know what I was going to do. Apparently, God has chosen me to be a troubleshooter. Because everything this guy sends me to is some. Some days you wonder if you want to go over there or not, you know. And I seem to be inheriting more and more territory like that. But that's fine. I like it. I love it. I go every chance. I go when there's somebody else's area and there's a problem. I want to go see how they fix it, you know. But It's a blessing to me. The Bible says that if you can't be faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? We all want to go out and take the kingdom and grab the land for ourselves. But the way God set it up was we come in under somebody else and work and learn and then you move out. And I've been, ever since I got there, I mean, as soon as I got to Mexico, I began feeling drawn to certain areas. And there weren't places where we had works, and I wasn't given a direct word, didn't feel any need to go leaving where I was to go up there, so I just kept plugging away where I am. And after about 4 years now, God has just opened the doors, and we've grown up into these areas. My little girl brought me a map the other day that I'd drawn out. Well, it's a copy of a map I sketched out several years ago, an area that I wanted to work. And I didn't tell anybody about it, didn't show it to anybody. I just put it down there and forgot about it. Susanna comes running in there the other day, hands it to me. In a corner of it, touched this place called Chapultepec. Last summer, some guys got in touch with us, invited us over there, and it is this massive valley. Awesome. I've not seen anything in North America like it. This thing is huge. And they just opened the door. Five churches wanted to come in. And open the door, and it's this huge corridor, and there's nobody back there.
No churches.
Man, you just go through there throwing out tracts all day and talking to people, and you never hit the same one twice. Up the other way, this place called Tlanchinol, I saw it and fell in love with it. It's cold up there. None of the other guys seem to like it like I do. One of them calls me Sub-Zero. We go up the mountain there. I'll have a tendency when it starts getting cold, I'll take my jacket off and ride around in a short sleeve shirt on my motorcycle. But I just begin to feel drawn up there. And I'm telling you, this area is hard.
There is.
They're so hard against the gospel, it's unreal. You know what? After I've been there, I wasn't down there 6 months. Went and prayed for this guy. Went back and prayed for him. You see, we didn't just get hurt, our feelings hurt, lay hands on him, and, oh, God, didn't do anything. Went back again. I don't have to do anything. All I got to do is go put my hand on that guy.
Holy Ghost.
And you know what? This guy's been on his back for 2 years from a snake bite. They're fixing to cut his hand off. And one day, the brother in that area goes back up and says, hey, where's this kid? Gone to school. Healed. Still got his hand. You can do it too. Just spent a couple of days walking with this brother. He was kind of quiet. He was only deaf for 25 years. The back of his head had swollen up. They said it looked like he had two oranges stuck on the back of his neck. Swole up so bad, finally the pus, the pressure just split his skin. Pus oozed out of it. Just come to a couple meetings, God healed him. Now he's out there trying to do the same for everybody else.
That's right, that's God. Hey, I'm with you. Go for it, buddy.
There's some brothers down there I work with in this area called Checha Ishpan.
Yeah, oh boy.
There's a little army back out here in the woods that not too many people know about.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've really got the crunch on us. I mean, it's sneak in the back and move around quietly. And then I was really getting upset. I was getting torqued because, man, God, I want to get in this thing. This is the place. You know, it's a good pocket back here. Nobody's in it. See, what happens down there is when you're on the pavement, I can take you to town on the pavement. There's five churches. You drive about a mile on the gravel. There's two. You take the gravel road, go another 3 hours. There's nothing.
No gospel.
But now these people are coming out of the woods. Witch doctors. Come out. They want to get saved.
That's right.
One family, this blessed me so much. One family. The grandfather, his son, his grandson, and the wives of the two older ones all got saved the same day. All got born again. The little boy is 12 years old. His daddy has given 30 pigs to the witch doctors to heal this kid. That's a couple of your cars. The day he gets born again, it's over with. He's healed. Hadn't been back. And like somebody was saying, when it comes time for worship, man, this guy just explodes in tears. He starts worshiping God, and five guys on either side of him hit the ground. They can't stand to be around him. And what I want to tell you to do is don't get mad and leave if you want to. But you can do and have the exact same thing right here. I dare you to try it.
Oh, well. It's not my fault. No problem. Okay, we need to turn to Isaiah. Thing's banging. Y'all hear it popping or something? Or is it just me hearing it? Just me, huh? Jeez. All right. Used to. You see how these... My son's 24. How old are you, Jay? You 30 yet? 32. I mean, these guys are young compared to lots of other people, but there's what we got here is the work is what makes us the way we are. It's not a teaching that I don't sit down with the men I work with and teach them this is how I want you to be. I tell them, get in the truck, let's go out in the woods. The woods tell them how they're going to be. The mountain talks to them and teaches them. It ain't got to do with me. It's got to do with the mountain. It's the mountain that talks. All I do is when you come down and visit, sit you down, talk miracles till you get tired of hearing them or till I get tired of talking, then I go away. But it's the mountain that does the talking for me. And it depends on how you receive the mountain. Now, I got something here I got to get into. Is that okay? Y'all messed around and let me learn how to run a little bit of this computer, and I got some smart aleck stuff here for you. Boy, I got all these references and pages. And, man, don't I look like I know what I'm talking about here?
be better if I had me a little folder or something. I'd pass these out, would you? Put it up on the overhead. Praise the Lord. Uh-oh, here I come. See, what I do is I look for what really gets y'all going, and I try to do my best to smear it. That's how I like to do it. That's fun to me. It really is. It's fun to me. And the reason it's fun to me is because you really think for some reason that that's going to help you do something. What helps you do something is Jesus. What gives you what you're looking for and your peace and the excitement and the contentment in your heart is Jesus. All right. Now, I'm going to challenge something here tonight. Right, I've got to do it right up front. Just go ahead and do it. I never have been one to wait. If I'm going to confront something, let's just do it. Huh? What's it say? Let's just do it. Come on. Let's just see what everybody's got. And I've got something here that's been bothering me a while, and I sit down with it for a few hours. And I don't have it all the way sorted out, but I want to anyway talk to you about it. And we'll sort it as we go. Okay? It might take me a couple of days here. But there's something wrong. I don't think y'all are devils. That's the first thing. Okay? I know it seems that way. I know it seems like I believe that everybody's devil possessed. That's not true. But we have trouble because we're being taught, and we're being taught good stuff, but from the point, somewhere along the way, it loses power. All right? Now, I'm not even going to try to say whose fault that is, because it is not God's, so it leaves us. All right. So, I doubt if I'm qualified to do this, what I'm fixing to try to do, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to jump off and chew on it anyhow. Because I know that the caliber of people that I'm around in here, I look around, I see pastors in here, I see guys that if somehow or another the mentality that has been strapped on me by the mountains and the work and the years now of experience and the things I've been able to see the hand of the finger of God do and the presence and power of God. And if you had what I have, you would do a better job than I do. There's no doubt about it. I really do, honestly. I talk about that all the time. I believe it. But somewhere along the way, there's some kind of a glitch or something wrong that's causing us not to respond. It's causing us to mildly respond instead of aggressively respond. And I think that the thing I want to talk about here is just, it's a simple thing. It's just truth. 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 Do you know that the more... Think about what I'm going to say before you judge everything I say. Do you know that the more revelation we get, the more the body of Christ divides? Are y'all watching it like I am at all? I mean, the more revelation comes from God, the more splits take place. All right. I am not nothing more than I was called to be, and that's a repairer of the breach. Out of Isaiah 58. I was called to be that by the Holy Ghost. I don't talk about it a whole lot, but I know that's what I have that in me, to be that. All right? But this thing about truth, I'm going to take my time with this, okay? Because I want to try to do this right from what little bit of sight I have on it right now. I want to try to be slow and particular about it. Because see, somewhere along the way, the little glimmer of truth that has hit my heart is working a little bit. And I get sorted out by thousands of people as to why it does work. Everybody has their opinion. And I don't care. Your opinion don't work, though. What works is the truth that's in my heart. All right. I do not think I'm better than you, but I don't think you're better than me either. I was taught to believe that everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. That makes us all equal. So I don't have any trouble thinking you better than I am. But I also don't have any trouble knowing that I'm not any better than you are. I know that I'm a man. I mean, I have the same passions. I have the same... There's lots of things about me. It's like lots of you people in here. Lots of you. All right. Jay says, hey, I was just like you. That's true. I used to be just like some of y'all. Long time ago. Had a great job. Made lots of money. And then Jesus just said, you know, let's go. Then this missionary invites me down to see his work. I've never been back. I went and stayed. What's wrong with me? It's not what's wrong, it's what's right. All right, now, truth got a hold of me. I'll tell you, I didn't see multitudes and vast villages going to hell. That's not what I saw when I went to the mission field. I went out there and if you looked at it, what we call the natural, what it really is fear. Fear. There were communists carrying guns where I was walking, and I didn't know any of the language. I was out there for two nights with Indians, and I knew no customs nor language, but I was so comfortable and felt so good. But the surrounding circumstances were completely hostile. Nothing was familiar to me. No smell, no sight, no hearing, no taste, no touch. Nothing was familiar to me as a human. But I found some peace. My little boy Luis, have y'all met Luis? Didn't I bring him up, did I? No, yes. Y'all met him anyway. Okay, Luis was singing a song to me a couple of days ago. He was just up in my ear. I was busy, but he just was sitting there singing to me. There's a song, I don't even know who does it. It's called Go Where the Peace Is. Y'all know that song? You should, that's right, because Luis was singing it to me. Go where the peace is, go where the Prince of Peace lives. And he was, see, that's what happened to me. I went out here, and even though the circumstances were not peaceful, I was. All right, now, there is a place right there where I differ with you. Okay, let's just mark that one up right there. We disagree. Because bullets can be flying, rivers can be flooded, demons can be everywhere. If my heart's at peace with God, I can sleep. I'm all right. But what you people have captured out of all the teachings that have gone through is that you have to have everything right or don't do anything. So it stalemated almost everybody. It's got almost everybody shut down. Well, so I don't agree with that. I don't agree that circumstances should dictate or emotions should dictate anything that has to do with me at all. What should have to do with me is simply the truth of the gospel. If I cannot hear the voice of the Holy Ghost in a matter, I look it up in this book and we do what it says. That's the end of it. Okay? Concerning the situation. But that's how we motivate and operate. And that's how we see victory and miracles. Truth. And I'm going to give you some definitions. I have a whole bunch of them, but I'm going to give you three. If you want to fight with all these people, whosever names they are. A bunch of people. Smart people. The word truth means constant. See, if I would have asked for definitions, we'd have got 500 different definitions in here. I asked my men the other day, I was studying on this, I went in the office, and there was a few of them sitting around in the office, everybody's getting ready to go into Mexico, and I said, fellas, what does truth mean to y'all? And so they're going to, of course, when I ask the question, everybody thinks it's loaded, and, you know, and I'm setting them up, which usually that's true, but it usually is filled with landmines. But they couldn't give me a definition for the word truth. And it really irritated me. So I went to a church and I talked to a church about it. You know what? The definition for truth is, it's not... Listen to what truth is. Truth is constant. Truth is permanent. This, whenever you say, brother, give me a truth, you know what you're asking me to do? Give me something that'll make me constant and permanent. The word truth translates to be faithful. The word truth means reliable, as in God's reliability. Do you hear what you're saying? Boy, there was a lot of truth in that. All right. A lot of truth in that. Built me up. Built you up for what? To be constant and reliable and faithful and permanent. Not so that you can get you another arrow in your quiver to fight in this fight that you're fighting Christians. You use truth against the devil. You use the reliability of God against the devil. You use the faithfulness of the Holy Ghost against the devil. The only reason our work is growing is because I'm permanent. I'm filled with truth. I'm constant. I'm reliable to those people. I'm reliable in God to them. I am filled with truth. That's why we get what we get in our work. It's not because I am so power-packed. It's because what's in me is, and it's truth. All right. God above all is true, real, and reliable. We should seek God for truth, church. When you say, I'm seeking God, why are you seeking God? Well, I want the truth. But I find us evading what we really mean. What do you mean? I want, what do you mean? The truth. Did I have y'all in Isaiah 59, didn't I? Well, let me step you over here to, John chapter 8. Just one little verse. You can read all the rest of them later. I don't have the time for it. John 8:32. You can know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All right? You can know the truth. Oh, man, the truth, what is it? It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. The truth is being constant in God. The truth is relying on God's reliability. The truth is being permanent in the Holy Ghost. The truth is not being a flake and changing with every wind of doctrine that floats around. The truth is when we come up to splits and wise and crossroads and things in our lives and ministries, the truth will carry us the right direction. And we choose it because the truth went down that way. Not because we need to get along with people or not because we... I mean, these guys I work with can tell you, hey, I bring something up in our ministry and I tell them, I think it's God. You know what they need to do? They need to get on the boat and shut up or they're gone. And it's not because I want to fight with them. That's not true. It's because the truth has led us this way. If you want to go that way, grab your little boat and have yourself a nice life. But I've got to follow the truth. The reason I have to follow truth is because of freedom. I've got to stay free. I can't allow circumstances, people, doctrines, and hindrances to block me and stop me from being free, because my freedom in permanence of the truth is what brings miracles. All right? I'm telling you, we're going to get some miracles in here tonight, because I'm talking about truth. Truth brings freedom. I'm serious. There will be some good happen here, because truth brings freedom. And we're talking about truth. Let me go to another one. Oh, no, wait, I better do this other one here too. People should judge truly, and the lack of truth should be lamented. I'm telling you. When we begin to see the lack of truth is when people are peeling off and their heart is changing. And I mean, our work went through a serious remodeling here a couple of years ago. Man, I didn't know what in the world was wrong. Now, it's easy to see what was wrong. It's easy to see. But because I stayed in the truth, I stayed permanent. I stayed constant. I stayed reliable. I stayed reliable in what God was reliable in. All right? I was able to make it through those difficult times. And now, I was telling Brother Steve last night, our work is taking a big curve now. And I've been in it for a few days now, this curve. I didn't know where we was going. But all of a sudden, we come to a straightaway and things are so clear now. And it's made me more aggressive. If you can believe that. It's made me, it has. You may not see it. You probably see me the same way as you have every time. But in the Holy Ghost, there's a difference. There's more freedom. There's more truth being applied to what we're supposed to do. And it's awesome. It's bringing power. Everywhere we go, it doesn't matter what country we're in. I'm seeing God's bringing us into a level that it doesn't matter if it's Mexico or not. We will see the same signs. We're headed there, including America. Including America. I read something here and I didn't see too many people squirmish about it, but I want to go back over and make you squirmish a little bit. People are admonished to judge truly. First thing is, people turn me over to Matthew chapter 7 and say, oh, brother, don't judge. We should be judged by the same judge. Judge me! I want you to. I invite your inspection. I do not fear your inspection. I have nothing to hide. I'm truly open because the Holy Ghost is in here. And He's setting us free, and we're seeing more miracles and power than I've ever dreamed it was possible. Let me go to another page here. Oh yeah, a synonym goes along with truth is confidence and trust. There's a circle of things in the Bible that I did not really know existed till I started getting in here and looking around at more. Some of these words, even in Greek, Hebrew, and Spanish, English, and all of them, you can't get them to separate from each other. They're chained to each other that they're not fully strengthened without the other link there. They're not at full power without the link that's hooked to them. Listen to this now. Listen to what truth linked with confidence brings. This is awesome to me. Ability to stand. Confidence? Whoa. Confidence means ability to stand. Yes, sir. It sure do. The other day, Brother Jay didn't tell you. I was sitting back there wanting him to tell you about them spiders, so I guess I'll have to. Go right ahead. Gentleman, I was 70-something years old, isn't that right?
This gentleman, 70-something years old, got born again. And his wife. Brother Jay was teaching on fasting somewhere they went. I don't know exactly where it was. But Brother Jay was talking about, no, you got to fast, you got to crucify the flesh. Oh, Jesus. So we ain't going to talk about that here. You'll stone me here. And so, this old man, he was brand new saved, and Brother Jay was talking about being, you know, fasting and praying and seeking God, and he goes and tells his wife, this old man did, he said, we need to fast. She said, what's that? Well, that's what he was talking about. Fast. Don't eat. Brand new Christians don't know, you know, don't know about what it brings, the benefits, and what, you know. So most people would say, well, they're not going to get any benefit out of it. That's because the kind of truth you're in leads you to the Burger King instead of the Holy Ghost. Hello! Yeah, and I went up to your Christmas tree demon this morning, and now I'm after your Burger King devil. All right. Oh, boy. Okay. See, confidence is what I've got a lot of that a lot of times is mistaken for arrogance or pride. Arrogant pride, if that's what I truly had, I'd be a dead man a long time ago. Where I live, the difference between confidence and pride is how close the bullet comes. That's true. All right. Confidence. Standing under. Confidence. To set under a foundation from the beginning. See, from the beginning of your salvation, from the beginning of your walk in the Holy Ghost, from the very beginning days of your walk in truth, your foundation should have been confidence. This is every believer. This is not people that are like me. This is every believer should have a confidence in God that cannot be shaken. Because of the reliability of God or the truth that's in us. See how it links? Well, it does. Anyway. Since we have this foundation, all right, of confidence from the beginning of when we started our walk into salvation or the Holy Ghost, the walk in healing, whatever, how you got in, all right, then the quality of confidence which leads one to stand under and the ability to endure and undertake anything or circumstance. Wow. See, I'm out here in Mexico. I'm a young missionary. I go down there with a little bitty bunch of babies. And I get out here and the thing that's on me is truth. I know that now. After 20 years, I found out what took me out there. Truth did. And I see what my foundation was. It was confidence in God's reliability. That's where you're weak. Number two, mark it. I'm not and you are. It's because you're afraid to try it. And I'm not. I am not afraid. I am not afraid of it. I don't know. It's confidence in the reliability of God. I can tell you by experience now. But then, all I had was some confidence in truth. It was a glimmer that hit my heart and spirit. And people tried ever since I've been saved to shut me down and box me up and market me and try to get me to do things when they wanted it done. Open it, shut it, open it. Let him out, shut him up, let him out, shut him up. And I have refused to go into their boxes and it's caused problems for me all the way. But what I've got is not, it didn't come out of the box of a man. It came from the reliability of the Holy Ghost.
It came from confidence in God. It came from trusting the Savior. It came from Jesus when I got saved. It's part of my salvation. Before this paper was even around, I had it. Or the thought of the computer that gave it to me. Let's go to another one. Even before the man wrote it in his book, I was walking it. All right. Now, so being the kind of investigator that I personally am, I went to some more books besides these. I went to some secular books to check these guys out. Well, this is what I found. Truth. It's a sense of reality. All right. Number three. Let's mark it where I disagree with you. People have told me, I would guess not less than 2,000 or 3,000 times since I've been saved, Hogan, you're losing touch with reality. Well, I want to argue that now. I'm not the one lost touch with reality here. Reality is truth. Reality is constant. Reality is permanent. Reality is faithful. Reality is Holy Ghost. It's reliable. It's the reality of God Almighty. It's confidence. It's the foundation that is able to bear up under anything. See, y'all thought I didn't know what I was talking about all the time. I got it figured out now, boy. It's genuine. Truth is genuine. We're always looking. We as Americans, and this is good, this is a good thing we do, we want the genuine product. There's certain things that I won't even buy. I'll wait till I can get the real thing. You have that in you in everything but the Holy Ghost. You want the first copy that comes out, and hopefully it's right. Church, man, there's a real product out here. I'm in touch with reality. That's truth. God is entirely reliable. He is completely reliable. There is no... Listen, there was a little old grandma. You don't like this one? I'm just glad I thought of it. Just in a couple of services ago, she comes up to me and does this right here. Grandmas have that right with me. They don't say nothing. I just say, yes, ma'am. I was trained to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, with a lot of respect for people. And this grandma, she just points. And I looked down there, and that leg was, it went straight, then it moved over, and went straight again. It had broken, and they had set it wrong, and it healed crooked. So she had to go up and down stairs sideways. And think she walked with a limp because it just didn't have the right, structure was wrong, and so it didn't have the right, you couldn't put the right pressure on it, so it shot pain up and down. So she learned how, because the way to fix that is you have to re-break it and reset it. And she said, I'm not willing. It was too much pain for her. And that, so she just points at it like this to me. So I knelt down there, wrapped my handkerchief around it, just tied it on her leg and prayed for it in Jesus' name. This loud popping took place. Moved my handkerchief off the lady, and it was still crooked, But she had fallen, and I took my thing off, and I couldn't ask. I didn't ask because I was busy with other people, went on about my business. But what happened was the Holy Ghost, my confidence, my truth, my reliable friend, my genuine article, the Holy Ghost. You know what he did? Completely healed her. He moved that bone over and straightened that leg out and completely healed Grandma. Isn't that fun? I like that. That's the genuine thing. That's the truth. All right. This is going slow here. Truth, truly or true, sense of real or reality or ideal or genuine, it is used to denote the Holy God. I like it. I like it a lot. This truth thing is serious. Because I've given you these definitions and I'm probably going to get only one Bible verse tonight out. Truth brings freedom. And I don't care what kind of demon's bothering you, he can't stop it. It doesn't make any difference what his name is. He cannot outdo the Holy Ghost. He cannot outdo the genuine article because he's a fake. It's a lie. Because let me read you another something. Hold on right here. Go back over there to John. Since we was in John, since it's the same chapter, hold your finger there, let's see. Instead of being in verse 32 where you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, jump down to verse 44 where it says that you're of your father the devil, the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Do you understand who we listen to more than we listen to God? Is the devil. It's a liar. There is no truth whatsoever. He's a fake. He's bogus. Okay, when he speaks a lie, he talks of his own stuff. He's a liar and he's a father of it. All right. So, when I ask you questions and you say, well, it's the devil. Well, what you just told me was, me and you going to have trouble because I'm not going with you and submitting to it. I've got to go with the real thing. The real thing is costly. You ever noticed how to get the genuine article, it costs a little more? Yeah. And you know what? I've noticed something about y'all. I've looked at some of y'all's clothes y'all are wearing. Some of y'all wear the genuine article and you just don't mind paying you don't mind paying a little bit more to get it because you know it's the true thing. All right. Well, why then do we slack up concerning the Holy Ghost? Why can't we take that same mentality and push into the truth and get a grip on confidence of God, our foundation, and hang on with that confidence and don't let anything move us, bear up under anything, and hang on to that truth and let it bias reality. Yeah, this is the word of the Lord, I'll tell you that. Truth means and declares that God fulfills the meaning of truth and confidence in His very name. He is very God. In distinction from all other gods, they are false gods. And it signifies that He is veracious. Who knows what that word means? I didn't know what that word meant. Anybody know? Look at that. Hey, I got you a definition here. Not voracious, veracious, V-E. Veracious. Voracious is consuming something you cannot be satisfied. Your appetite is, you know, that's true, right? But this veracious has a different meaning than that. I thought that when I first saw it, but I was wrong. Veracious means honest, truthful, accurate, and even precise. That's what He is. And I hear constantly from good people, good Christian people, I love Jesus, but God's in me and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, but. I hear that. They'll give me that first phrase and then the devil gets the rest of it. Listen, God is just not that away. He's too accurate and precise for all of us to be that wrong. So that means our mentality needs to get a check. As a church at large. Okay? I understand that what I'm saying could be super controversial. But I like that. I want to stimulate you to think a little bit. Because something's wrong with what we're doing. Hey, church is full, looks good, but I'll tell you, if I just checked the front row, we'd find probably there's 25 people up here get 25 different things that's wrong. I don't think that there's a utopia, but I think that there's more accurate and precise God around, and there's a stronger confidence from the Holy Ghost than we are allowing ourselves to receive. And it's because of our appetite with the world. That's blocking it. All right. So I went from Greek, Hebrew, Chaldean, and English, and then I said, let me check Spanish. So I went to Spanish, since that's one of my dominant languages anymore. And the word verdad means truth. La verdad. It means truth. Okay, what does truth mean? But another word for truth in verdad was veracious. Can you believe it? I didn't even know what the goofy word meant. But it means to be precise, accurate, honest, and truthful, and faithful. Same synonyms that confidence carries. So I found myself a whole chain and network of power rings that are being limited used by the church. And I don't consider myself to be some great revelator or nothing like that, but something is stopping. How can I, who is more human than you are, be so filled with power and energy when you know the God I know and you walk with Him, you talk with Him, you know the Bible I know? What's the difference? The truth is the same. The confidence is different. And our confidence is our foundation. Isn't that something? I found something here. It doesn't make me any better, but it doesn't make me any worse. But it does let me figure out you a little better. And it allows you to see me a little better too. Not to be like me, you want to be like what I've got, which is confidence and truth. You want the anointing that I've got. You don't want to be like me, I promise. I promise you, I'm more human than you are. See, when I hit on that sermon Brother Steve was talking about a couple of years ago, God was bringing me into this thing. And I've been searching for it and through it a long time. I guess I will my whole life. I'll be in and out of this truth. And because you know what one of the phrased meanings for truth is? That God cannot lie. Oh, I fell out of the chair when I saw that. Because I got this sermon. It's an awesome thing. It's wonderful and it's true. And the reason I've got so many people saved when I preach it and healed is because it's synonym to truth. Are you getting this at all? This is boring. Boy, it's not boring to me. It's freedom to me because the truth will set you free. I'm telling you, this thing is so wrapped up and so together, and we try to keep it so separated. It's not. You can't. It's not. It's hooked together, inseparable. People say, well, I'm just not that kind of a, you know, I'm just not that, you know, like you. I'm not that aggressive. Well, then we've got a different God. And mine is a genuine thing. So there's where the deal goes to fight now. I don't want to fight with you. I want to try to talk you into listening to me that maybe I might have one of our answers bottled up here that we might could study on and get a hold of and work on through and maybe get some power out of this thing. All right, look. I need you to go somewhere. I'm fixing to hammer you a little bit. Because the Bible, the Word, is a hammer. Isaiah 59. Now, please understand, I am reading what is written here. Well, I'll probably talk about it too. If the grandma had walked up with the crooked leg and you were standing there, would you have prayed for her? Absolutely. But honestly, how many of you would have seen the miracle? I'm not your judge. I'm here to let's think. I'm here to let's go to the house of God and dwell. I'm here to let's eat of the goodness of God in the house of God. That's what I was talking about this morning a little bit. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to get the percentage of Christians walking in this kind of truth and confidence to rise, to get it, the percentages to go up. That's what I want to do here. Is try to. I've come here, I've shouted at you, I've fussed at you, I've screamed and hollered at you, I've spit cotton at you, I've done all kinds of things to you. And we've had some good times. But I want the percentage, the rate of increase, to be more drastic this time with our meeting. Because I am soaring in the Holy Ghost. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how high He's going to take me, but I like it. And I don't want to go by myself. I want to go together with us in the truth and the confidence. And I want us to see the glory and power of heaven together. I want us to experience these miracles together. It's definitely for us. But there are a few things I need to talk about that's blocking it. Yep, here we go. Isaiah 59. I finally made it to the Bible verse. 50 minutes later. But I got to get this definition to make you understand what I'm trying to say. Because this is right. It's just simply right. Brother Hogan, it's so simple. It's not simple. If it was simple, all of you would be doing it. All of us would be doing it. Because you see, here's what happened. See, I am so full. I am. I'm full. I'm full of energy. I am tapped. I am full. I am energized. I got to see something with my own eyes that's courageous. It's wonderful. I was in this church in Australia called Red Cliff in Queensland, Australia. And the platform was wider than this building here. Probably as wide as this whole thing is long, isn't it, Brother Steve? Yeah. It's a big old place, and there were several hundred people to be prayed for. And all right. See, what I'm fixing to tell you is what every individual in this room that's seeking God, this is you. This is what you want. I know it is. And I know that. I know that. I know that. I know that. That's why you put up with me coming here and railing on you like you did. Because even though I do, I'm real serious and I'm aggressive with you, you can feel that I'm trying to help you. You can feel it. I know that. Even though I'm manhandling you a little bit, you can still feel He's trying in His old awkward way to help us. I was in that prayer line. Y'all seen me. I'm intense in that prayer line just like I am everywhere else. And you know, I was praying. And for some reason, I looked to the left. And there was that little boy standing over there. He was on the second or third. It was up here, about this high. And I was up there. And I saw this little boy standing up there with me. And there was an arm sticking out of the crowd holding him up. And I prayed for that last person. I got up. I just walked straight to him. I wanted him. And I get over there, and there's a mama weeping. holding that little boy up. She don't care about being noticed. She don't care about nothing. She just wants me to grab a hold of this little boy. Little boy been crippled his whole life. He was in a wheelchair. He couldn't walk. And I said, I just reached down there and knelt down and just held on to him. Just started praying. Fire! Fire of God come on this kid. I didn't even know what was wrong with him. It doesn't matter what's wrong with him. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Truth don't matter. It don't matter the name of the demon. If a reliable God is with you, and if your foundation is confidence, and your guide and precise and accurate, honest one is with you, it doesn't matter. Yeah! And that's something. See, most of you in here, your mentality is, yeah, well, brother, I need to know exactly what I'm up against. Praise the Lord. That's the first mistake. You don't need to know what you're up against. Don't worry about what you're up against. Your job is to think on things above, who is Father God, and to let Him worry with what you're up against. All right. Prayed for this kid. He just slumped in my arms. I just laid him out on the thing. Didn't know what was wrong with him. Like I said, it's not that I don't care, but I don't care. It's not that I do care that he's hurting and suffering. That's not right to think that I don't care about him. I don't care about the devil. I care about the truth I carry, about the energy of heaven I have with me. I care about the confidence and my foundation in the Holy Ghost, which can bear up under anything. Boy, I want to come out there and get you. I can feel it. Oh, boy. This is serious. I usually don't feel like this till about the second or third night. But now I feel it already. I want you. Ah! Man! Whoa! Man! Jesus! That little boy was crippled, you see. You know what his prayer was? You know what this little boy's desire was? He wanted to be normal like the other kids and run and play. That's all he wanted. He was hurt because they were always laughing at him because he was in a chair. And kids don't mean to be that way, but boy, they're hurtful sometimes. And this little boy, he just told his mama, I heard that man on the radio say, anybody can receive his God. Could I go? And that mama brought him. Uh-oh. oh, man, what a God. What a wonderful, wonderful, reliable God. What a wonderful God! Holy Ghost. You know what happened to him? 2 days later, the phone rings. It did. And that mama's weeping and crying and biting the bottom out of the telephone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, you got this all wrong. We thank Jesus. I'm just a man. But He is reliable God. Yeah! He is a reliable God. Isn't that something? That little boy's feet got completely healed and he don't have to have the wheelchair anymore. Hallelujah. I'm so glad he got up out that chair. And he's out there running right now with them little boys, little girls. He's having himself fun, and they're not making fun of him anymore because his God healed him. His reliable, confident friend healed him. Okay, I'm not evading this. Okay, 55 minutes. All right. Verse 9. There are some of you in here that need God's judgment to help you. Do you know that? There's some of you that need God's healing power to touch you. There's some of you that needs God's light to shine in your situation. But it's not there. And you just can't figure out why. I figured it out. Let's read it. Judgment is far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but we behold obscurity. We wait for brightness, but we walk in darkness. Is this ringing any bells, anybody? Brother Dave, you just described my life in one verse. I know that. I'm going to get some more of you in the next verse. We grope for the wall like blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Now then, what is happening in some of y'all's hearts and minds is you are challenging me. I feel it. Hey, it's not my fault. What I feel is a challenge to the Holy Ghost, not to me. Because the Holy Ghost wrote that book. I didn't. You would challenge me to say, I know the same God you do. I've got the same name you do, Jesus. I've got the same blood protection. I've got the same word protection, same truth. But I want to challenge. I'll tell you, I receive. Throw the gauntlet down. Let's go for it. I'll pick it up. Because somehow I've got to get you pinned to the wall where you can see God differently than you're looking at it. Somehow we've got to redirect the truth that's in you to let it loose in you. Somehow we're going to have to take materialistic demons, hordes of hell that have attached themselves to our Christian population and sever that demon off of us so that we can let the truth of God flow through us. You heard me say this morning, it's not the amount of money. That's not true. It's not the amount of money. It's not true that money is the problem. It's loving money that's the problem. We roar, all of us, like bears. Now, do you know that if I was to, I could have set y'all up. I didn't. I was nice to you. Do you know that some of you, boy, you get into what we call warfare prayer now, and you start praying, and boy, you aggressive, and you rah, 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 you roar like a bear. But in the very next breath, you mourn like a dove. Something's wrong with that, don't you think? Something is wrong with that. Where is the constant? Remember, constant is truth. Where is the permanent? Remember, permanent is truth. Where is that constant? See, the one thing that we have going for our ministry is I have been super constant and permanent in integrity the whole time I've walked. I have fought for it, and I will die for it. All right. The constant, the stability, the foundation, of course, is confidence. All right. To me, it's a bald-faced lie to be in this super warfare for an hour and walk right out the door and bow to demons. How can God move for you if you're in here praying and you know you're going to walk right out that door and do whatever the devil says? I rebuke and refute that. That's not good. better for you not to even say it than to say it and then call God a liar. All right. I'm trying to get us a reality check here, and reality is truth. Reality is the Holy Ghost, a reliable God. Okay? Am I going too, is it too thick? Is it too, what do you call it? Too steep? Oh boy. Look. Our transgressions are multiplied before you. Our sins testify against us. I'm telling you right now that if certain countries could get a hold of some of the finances that's in this room right here, countries could get a hold of the finances in this room here, the gospel could be preached in the whole country. Do you know that I could support 200 pastors on what you make on one salary a year? And they would live high in their society and preach like the world was on fire. And you complain and murmur because you want more. You selfish sissy. Listen, church. Our mentality about the truth has got to change. You want the power. God wants to give it to you, but you're going to have to let these things go to get it. You're not going to get it your way. It won't work. How long are you going to walk around groping for the wall in the middle of the day and you can see but you can't. You can hear but you can't hear. How long are we going to endure? That's punishment of our own selves, self-inflicted. It is not done by the devil nor by the Holy Ghost. It's because we choose it. This truth thing's got me stirred up. Can you tell? Because it's right. And I feel like if I didn't tell you the truth of truth, I feel like I'd be accountable, and I'm not going to be that for you. You're going to be that for yourself. In transgression and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and what? Hello? Revolt. Oh, not you. I know it's not you. He's not talking about you. I know that. Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. If I'm not right, then how come you carry things and burdens 20, 30, 40 years that is not your legal right under the Holy Ghost powers to carry? It's the blood of Jesus that's supposed to carry that stuff. It's the back of the Almighty God that's supposed to carry it. But you are going to tote it around, excess garbage, and you reek. But yet you'll sit there and say, oh, Jesus' name, heal my aunt so-and-so with cancer. Forget it, man. It ain't going to happen. Get the garbage out. Repent. Then it will happen. It will. Cancer is not bigger than God. Sin in you is. Not that it's more powerful, but it is to you. Do you understand? Here's that will thing now. All right. Oh no, I got you really mad at him. Judgment is turned away back. Justice standeth afar off for truth. Uh-oh, now look what we done found. Oh, we could have done all night without this phrase. Oh, no. Did you know that even though you know what the truth is, you'll compromise it calling it loving people? And I'm going to tell you this right here. You mark me really well. Let's go for it. I'm not going to compromise. And you watch the truth make more people free than you'll ever dream exist. I refuse to compromise. I will not be taken in by this worldly system. I am going to walk in the truth regardless of what it costs. I will be martyred, okay? Hey, I know that. Hey, I know it. But you know what? I embrace it. There it is again. Brother Hogan, you're losing touch with reality. You have no idea what reality is telling me that, boy. Son, I just embraced reality. It's the truth. It's the truth, and I will not bow. Doesn't matter whose mouth it comes through. Do you understand that truth is in the street being driven over, run over? The church is growing. It is growing faster than it ever has in any other generation. It really is. But so is sin, and so is truth being degraded faster than it has in any other generation. How is all that happening? Because you are spineless. But I'm aggressive. You are in certain things. See, the problem is with truth is we decide what we want to let truth be and what we don't want to let it be. If we don't like what Brother Hogan preaches, we get up, we leave, we go home. I don't have to go back. You have 1,000 choices on what truth is. But are you really real? Have you chosen the right one? I'm questioning you. I challenge your truth. My truth that I have decided to submit to now for all these years is starting to work like it did in the book of Acts. Your truth is not doing that. So one of us is wrong. Here again, I am trying to, I don't want you to feel like I'm elevating me. It's the truth that's doing the job. It's the name of Jesus that's doing the job. It's the foundation of confidence that's doing the job. Do you understand? And with the truth and the humility of the Holy Ghost and the grace and mercy of heaven. And I embrace Him with it. And all the authority and the anointing of heaven in me envelops Him. And truth penetrates any shield of hell. Doesn't matter its name. And I pray with this guy. And he leaves. A couple of days later, the phone rings. I like that, don't you? The man was completely healed. I don't even know what the name of the thing was. But it doesn't matter. The tubes are off of him. His body, his head's around. I like that. I like that a whole lot. We've got to get truth out of the street. And we've got to hold on to it. The initial price will cost you a little bit of your lust. But the price, the benefit, is worth it, not only to yourself, but to people in your family, people in your immediate circle, your friends, and even now, I, by the Holy Ghost, am going to the world. Now the world will experience the price. Because we're paying it, you see. And I don't want God to take it down one notch. I want to pay full price. Yes. I want it, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to grab, fight, grapple. I'm going to claw, bite. I'm getting the truth. I'm going to hang on to it. And I'm not compromising. I'm going to smile at you best I can. But as I'm walking off, I can't compromise it. I just can't. Because if you ever, ever hold one of them little babies that die, and the truth brings it back to life, you'll see what's wrong with it. If you ever get to hold a little crippled boy out of a wheelchair and him get healed, if you ever get to hold a little man that's got some kind of a funky devil on him, got him all turned around backwards and every other way, and God straighten him out, if you ever get to lay your handkerchief on a grandma that's got a
twisted leg and God heal it. If you ever, there was a man that come up and he had been in a car wreck and his back, he had hit the steering wheel and his back turned, but the rest of him didn't. And so, ouch. And so he's hurt, you know. And he comes up there and he was the first one, boy, he ran up. Best he could. He comes running up there and of course, you know, you can see what's wrong with him, but I got to say, what do you want? I want his back healed. Should have seen it. We all saw it. Just touch him. Awesome. There ain't no describing it, but awesome. You just touch him on the back. Touch him on the stomach. And all of a sudden, you start hearing these little things. And he's just straight. He goes home and all the pain leaves. The next night he's there jumping up and down. Looked like some kind of a electric bolt let out of a light socket. I mean, the man was crazy. Do you know how valuable truth is? I don't think some of us do. It's worth every friend I've got. It's worth every pastor friend. Listen to this. It's worth my children and it's worth my wife. It's the greatest possession that I own. It is the wisdom of God. It is the knowledge of heaven. It is the Word of the Lord. I got to have it. And I will. I'll keep it. And I want us to get the truth up out of off the ground. Let me see here. That's enough. Okay. I didn't make it very far. Y'all can put y'all's Bibles up. See, people are telling me, oh, man, I don't feel anything. You will. You want to feel? Fix and feel. And the reason I know that is because, you see, I have told you the truth. I didn't hold back. I did what was right. All right. Now that you know the truth, the confidence, the foundations of God, the reliability of God will make you free. Hallelujah. They got a new tape in Australia, and I apologize, I didn't bring it. Oh, I'm sorry. But they got some songs on there. There's a couple of them. One of them is Freedom Is. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. Freedom, freedom, freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. It's an awesome tape. And they got another one over there. A tape, or a song on that tape. Yeah, that's how it is. Because I rebuked them over there because everybody writes all these wonderful songs, but they leave the blood out, the power of the blood of Jesus. Remember when I did that for Steve? Well, they wrote some songs about the blood, and this one is called The Blood Cries Out. Do you remember when Cain slew Abel? The Bible says it got the blood cries out to Jesus, to God. Remember that? Well, they took that thing and made a song out of it, and it's scary. It's wonderful. It's called The Blood Cries Out. It's wonderful. Too bad I'm not a singer, boy. I'd light you up. But I'm not. So I'll have to depend on God to light you up. Okay, would y'all please stand up? The blood cries out. Blood cries out. It is finished. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to see if there's somebody in here that needs to be born again. That's what we're going to do. The truth will set you free.